With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. A South Dakota National Guard unit will begin a one-year deployment to Guantanamo Bay in January 2020. About 115 soldiers from the 235th Military Police Company will provide detention operations at the U.S. military's camp in Cuba. SDPB's Ariel Zients has the story.
The South Dakota National Guard is deploying to Guantanamo Bay for the first time since the detention camp opened in 2002. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Dice is a spokesman with the National Guard. He says the military police company is prepared for Guantanamo.
The unit is capable of detainee or internment operations, internal, external security for facilities.
President Joe Biden is hoping to close Guantanamo Bay, which has been criticized for torture, indefinite detentions, and jailing innocent people. 27 detainees aren't charged with any crime. The 12 others are charged or have been convicted in special military trials. Dice said this is the military police's fourth federal deployment since 9/11. The unit deployed once to Fort Carson and twice to Afghanistan.
We're capable, ready, prepared to perform a variety of different missions. And we just see this is another example of the Department of Defense, U.S. Army, looking to the South Dakota National Guard to fill in these different roles and capabilities and mission sets that are needed in these different areas across the world.
The soldiers will train for several weeks at Fort Bliss in Texas before heading to Guantanamo. I'm SDPB's Ariel Zients.
Governor Kristi Noem says the Board of Regents has approved a draft policy restricting the teaching of critical race theory in the state's universities. The policy encourages exposing students to a variety of viewpoints, but never mentions critical race theory. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
The governing body of the state's public universities adopted a statement called Opportunity for All. In it, the policy states students will learn about America's history, from its triumphs to its flaws and mistakes, so that, quote, we can learn from them and improve. It says students should be exposed to a variety of viewpoints, ideas, and theories so that they can be debated. The statement says that could include discredited or controversial ideas. Governor Noem says in a news release that the statement restricts the teaching of critical race theory, but that phrase does not appear in the statement. Critical race theory teaches that race is a social construct and racism is not merely the product of individual bias or prejudice, but something embedded in legal systems and policies. Tony Venhuizen is Governor Noem's former chief of staff. He's now a member of the Board of Regents. He says the statement means the regental system is not going to take a concept like critical race theory and make it the basis of the regental system's curriculum, something he says is not happening today.
Now, that doesn't mean that a history major at some point in their career might not study that and scrutinize it and consider the pros and cons alongside other schools of thought or other theories, but it's not going to be the basis for instruction in South Dakota's universities. It isn't today, and it isn't going to be.
Noem seized on the passing of the statement, tweeting, she's grateful the Board of Regents is limiting the application of critical race theory and other controversial topics in South Dakota colleges and universities. The statement makes no mention of prohibiting or banning such topics. I'm SDPB's Lee Strubinger.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem's purchase of an updated state airplane was completed Thursday, with the state opting for a less flashy but still upscale turboprop aircraft after some lawmakers questioned whether she wanted a jet. The Department of Transportation purchased a 2015 Beechcraft King Air 350 for about $4.5 million. The aircraft, which holds up to 9 passengers, is marketed to business executives with pull-out work tables and onboard Wi-Fi. Legislators were skeptical earlier this year when she requested a $5 million allocation to update the state's plane fleet. Some believed she was angling to buy a jet. First responders in South Dakota are gaining access to free mental health services. Lawmakers passed the new programs during the 2021 session, and members of a legislative task force received updates at a recent meeting. Jacqueline Severin has the story.
Representative Ryan Schwach of Yankton is the vice chair of the Mental Health of First Responders Task Force. He says one new program is for volunteer firefighters and EMTs. The program will provide free mental health insurance and a hotline connecting volunteer first responders with local mental health providers. Schwach says another important new program is the Hero Wellness Grant. Lawmakers set aside money in that program for peer support training grants. Schwach says peer support training helps empower first responders to talk about the stresses of being an EMT, firefighter, and police officer. He says first responders are more likely to open up to other first responders about mental health issues.
So what the peer support training does is it actually brings people from law enforcement offices in, and they learn tips and skills about how to actually facilitate communication within their department about kind of the mental health stressors that they're going through during the day.
South Dakota's Division of Criminal Investigation will administer the grants. Schwach says the Mental Health of First Responders Task Force has only scratched the surface on helping firefighters, EMTs, and law enforcement. He says the task force will continue to investigate how mental health affects the retention and recruitment of quality first responders. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jacqueline Severin.
Carbon is a greenhouse gas that traps heat in the atmosphere and causes global warming. More and more companies are pledging to offset their carbon footprint. South Dakota farmers and ranchers may play a role in that reduction. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
About 25 producers from northwestern South Dakota gather in the Branding Iron Steakhouse just south of Belle Fourche to hear a presentation from the South Dakota Farm Bureau about carbon and climate. Shelby Myers is an American Farm Bureau economist. She says several corporations want to achieve net zero carbon emissions by a certain year.
What the goal is to find a way to put a seal on their product that says this is this is environmental friendly, or this is a net zero product, something that they know that their consumers are interested in seeing on their products.
One way corporations can do that is by purchasing carbon credits from producers who employ sustainable practices on their operation. Essentially, companies will pay farmers and ranchers to store carbon in the ground. Producers do that by engaging in carbon sequestering practices like planting cover crops in idle fields, using the no-till method of farming, and preventing overgrazing in their pastures. Clay Connery runs a cow-calf operation northeast of Newell. He's interested in carbon credits because it's a market-based solution that pays farmers and ranchers for practices that improve the land.
Every day my goal is to make sure that my cows are impacting the land in a way that makes that land better, makes that land able to hold more water, hold more carbon, grow more forage next year, which ultimately provides a good set of resources for the wildlife in my community, in my neighborhood to use.
The credit markets are still evolving, but some companies are already offering enrollment periods in South Dakota. With SDPB News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Belle Fourche.
The Washington football team updated its stadium policies and protocols to ban any Native American-inspired headdresses and face paint in the stadium for the upcoming season. After 87 years, the Washington football team retired its controversial Redskins name. The team faced criticism from Native Americans across the country and its own public and major sponsors, such as Nike and FedEx. Other major sports teams have taken the same route in wake of the nationwide protests against racial injustice after the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The Major League Baseball team, formerly known as the Cleveland Indians, retired its offensive mascot, Chief Wahoo, before ultimately changing its name to the Guardians. Department of Interior Secretary Deb Haaland and Attorney General Merrick Garland are working to establish the Not Invisible Act Commission. It's in response to the missing and murdered Indigenous peoples crisis in the United States. They are seeking members to focus on reducing violent crimes against American Indians and Alaska Natives. The commission includes partnerships with tribal, state, and federal law enforcement and other social service providers to accomplish that goal. Secretary Holland encourages input from tribal nations about the focus and direction of the commission. This commission is the next step of the Not Invisible Act. Four Native American members of Congress, including then-Congresswoman Holland, introduced the act in 2019. Congress passed the act unanimously in 2020. Sanford Health's nurse residency program is now fully accredited with distinction. The health system worked to earn the honor from the American Nurses Credentialing Center during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Erica DeBoer is chief nursing officer with Sanford Health. She says the program enhances training for new nurses.
The nursing residency program is powered not only by the preceptors at the bedside that are helping with those clinical skills, but we have phenomenal facilitators and mentors that really help our new nurses as they onboard, not just into that clinical setting, but helps them develop add their leadership skills as well as all those care standards and the evidence to deliver that quality outcomes to our patients.
Only 200 other nurse residency programs around the world have earned the same accreditation. The state climatologist says August weather patterns are decreasing the chances for South Dakotans to recover from the drought. Laura Edwards expects even less rain this month.
Average precipitation is about half an inch a week or so this time of year. We're kind of on the downhill slide, as our wettest time is usually in June and July. So climatologically speaking, our chances of really having a good recovery of drought are kind of slipping away slowly as we get through August.
The U.S. Drought Monitor updates every Thursday at droughtmonitor.unl.edu. With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.